Let's turn now in God's Word to Exodus and chapter 28. Exodus 28, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 43. Exodus 28, and beginning in verse 1. These are the words of the living and true God, so give your attention to them. And take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother, and his sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate and an ephod, and a robe, an embroidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. It shall have the two shoulder pieces thereof joined at the two edges thereof, and so it shall be joined together. And the curious girdle of the ephod, which is upon it, shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen. And thou shalt take two onyx stones, and grave on them the names of the children of Israel, six of their names on one stone, and on the other six names of the rest on the other stone, according to their birth, with the work of an engraver in stone, like the engravings of a signet. Shalt thou engrave the two stones with the names of the children of Israel, thou shalt make them to be set in ouches of gold. And thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel, and Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. And thou shalt make ouches of gold, and two chains of pure gold at the ends of wreathen work shalt thou make them, and fasten the wreathen chains to the ouches. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work after the work of the ephod. Thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen, and thou shalt thou make it. Four square it shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a ligure, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. They shall be set in gold in their enclosings. And the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall they be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate two rings of gold, and shalt put the two rings on the two ends of the breastplate. And thou shalt put the two wreathen chains of gold in the two rings which are on the ends of the breastplate. And the other two ends of the two wreathen chains thou shalt fasten in the two ouches, and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. And thou shalt make two rings of gold. Thou shalt put them upon the two ends of the breastplate in the border thereof, which is in the side of the ephod inward. And two other rings of gold thou shalt make, and shalt put them on the two sides of the ephod underneath, toward the fore part thereof, over against the other coupling thereof, above the curious girdle of the ephod. And they shall bind the breastplate by the rings thereof unto the rings of the ephod with a lace of blue, that it may be above the curious girdle of the ephod, and that the breastplate be not loosed from the ephod. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue, and there shall be a hole in the top of it. In the midst thereof it shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a habergeon, that it be not rent. And beneath upon the hem of it thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. A golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about. And this shall be upon Aaron to minister. And his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he cometh out, that he die not. And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow, and all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. And thou shalt embroider the coat of fine linen, and thou shalt make the mitre of fine linen, and thou shalt make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnet shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, and shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins even unto the thighs they shall reach. And they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come in unto the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto him and his seed after him. Those are God's holy words. So here, chapter 28, continuing after the commands concerning the consecration of the tent of meeting and the outer court last Lord's Day we heard about. Here are the orders for are given for those servants who will minister in the tabernacle. The Levites, and in particular the focus here on Aaron and his sons. As well through verse 5, the particular garments that should be set upon them and should set them apart from everyone else, that they might minister in the priest's office to the Lord. Their clothing, it repeats a couple times, for glory and for beauty. Now through verse 14, the garments of the high priest, that he should wear an ephod and belt. The stones there on the ephod provide context to what Jesus speaks of in Revelation 2. It says, "There he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it." Jesus, we know, is the great high priest, and he enters the holy place for the final time and forever with his name written on the stone of the priestly garments. And it's by and in his name that we are in covenant with God. And then through verse 29, the breastplate of judgment for the high priest with the Urim and the Thummim on top of it, verse 30, these all to determine God's will and judgment in matters for the people of God. In which Hebrews 1 says, "In Christ, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And so if we need to know the will of God, we go to his word, in which Jesus speaks to us his will. Through verse 35, the high priest's robe. And this robe signifies Christ's robe and his righteousness that covers the sin of God's people, his people. Through verse 38, the mitre, or that which the high priest wore upon his head, declaring his holiness, pointing to Christ's holiness. Again, Hebrews 7 says, "For such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself." Jesus dying on the cross for our sins, for his people's sins. At there in the remaining verses of those priests who were not the high priest, their garments are described. And so, beloved, over and over again, everything in the tabernacle, what we're seeing from Hebrews, even the garments of the priest, the high priest, point us to Jesus Christ and are fulfilled finally in Jesus Christ. Not only is Jesus our Savior, he is the holy and great high priest, not after the order of Aaron, but after the order of Melchizedek, who is our forever king. After the order of Melchizedek, he's our holy and great high priest, who has made atonement for our sins to all who come to him by faith. And so wouldn't you come to him by faith? You must come to him by faith today if you are to have Christ as your Savior, as your mediator, as your King, and as we're going to see this morning, as your prophet who speaks to us. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word. We're thankful that you grant us a great blessing by just hearing. What a privilege it is to not have you speaking to us taken away from us. You have not removed your word from us. What a blessing. And that we have seen as we've gone through the scriptures in the Old Testament, even in Amos, as we went through recently, how you took your word away, the worst judgment that could ever be on this earth. And so, Father, we're thankful that you have still not taken your word away from us, even though we continue in sin, even though we know the truth, we know the gospel, we believe the gospel, and yet still sin against you. And so, Father, we pray that you would turn us from our sin today. We hate our sin. We love your righteousness. And we just love plainly righteousness, which is only found in Christ your Son and in your Word. And so, Father, help us to put to death, to mortify the sin that remains by your Spirit working in us to put it to death. We need your grace to do it. We are completely unable of ourselves to do it. But in Christ, we can do it by your Spirit. And so provide us with the grace to do so. Father, we pray that you would turn us from our sin, that we have broken all of your commandments in thought and in word and in deed, that we have not loved you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've not loved our neighbor as ourselves. We've broken all of your commandments, summarized in those two greatest commandments. And so, Father, we're thankful as we do come grieving over our sin, that you're a gracious God, a God who is just, faithful and just, to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness for Christ's sake. And, Father, we're thankful that it is in Christ alone that our sins can be cleansed and we be washed even as white as snow. And so make us clean, Father. Father, we're thankful today that you're a gracious God who has given us the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who's our priest king, our mediator king, who rules over all nations, who rules over all kings. We'll hear this morning again a little bit from Psalm 2. We'll sing Psalm 2, in which we know that all kings and rulers are called to kiss the Son, lest they perish. And yet today, so many and most kings and rulers do not kiss the Son. They refuse, and so they will perish. And so, Father, we pray for their souls. And by Your grace, You would send Your Spirit and change our rulers' hearts. Our president, our congressmen, our governors, our mayors, city councilmen, police officers, firemen, all these who are, in a sense, part of the civil magistrate in one way or another, judges and rulers over us, we pray for their souls. For we know that this nation is under great judgment and will come under a greater judgment. If this nation does not covenant with You, we've learned this many times. And so, Father, we pray that You would save these souls of these many rulers, countless since there are so many, that they would then covenant with Christ Your Son, and they would rule according to Your law, Your word, and they would encourage the church to preach the truth of the gospel, that they would rebuke the churches that have turned from this, and call them to preach the true gospel, which is alone found in Your word. And Father, we pray that You would bring about great peace for us, the church, if that be Your will. And yet it doesn't seem like it is Your will at this time, but that there would be greater and greater suffering and persecution upon Your church, not only in this nation, but all nations, and especially in those that we know are greatly persecuted, North Korea, China, Sudan, the other African countries, and the Middle East, and Turkey, and whatnot, Father. We know many hate You, and they hate Your people, therefore. And so, Father, we pray for those who are really coming under the hand of the government and magistrate, that You would uphold them, that You would grant them Your grace, and the grace needed to stand strong and to minister the gospel even in times where they are being put to death or killed in other ways, various ways, and coming under great suffering and bodily harm. Uphold them in their souls. And we're thankful that as we have the promise with them, with all of Your children, that You not only keep us, but You keep our souls, as You say in Psalm 121. And so, Father, keep their souls. Father, we do ask that You would be with us, that we, when we have opportunity, would proclaim the gospel and tell the truth and witness it to our rulers, that they would hear the gospel call, that they would hear the need for their repentance from their sin and their grievous sins against You, even as a ruler, as well as a individual. Our Father, we're thankful for the church. We're thankful for this congregation. We pray that You would uphold us and grow us in our faith. Help us to hear the word today, that we would have a conscionable hearing of the word, and that we would believe what we hear and teach it unto all those around us, even our children and grandchildren. And we pray for our children. We pray for them, our covenant children, Your covenant children, who come to hear Your word, who sit under the means of grace, who benefit from the workings of the Holy Spirit in at least some ways, as the word is preached and heard. Father, give them ears to hear and grant them salvation, even those in the womb. Give them salvation today. We know it's possible for You to do. And so we plead that You would do it if it be Your will. Of course, let Your will be done. Father, we pray and ask for Your help with those who are struggling in their body today. There are many who are sick today in our congregation. Even of children. Boaz, who still has a fever. We pray that You would heal him and grant to Ezekiel as well, healing, continued healing. We're thankful that he's feeling better. We're thankful Levi is feeling better today. And we praise You for that. And Father, thankful that you're the healer. Father, I do pray that you'll be with Jake and Marissa, who are also sick, and grant them strength in their bodies, especially Marissa, who's with child, that you would strengthen her and the baby in the womb that we give into your hands. And we give all of our children into your hands, Father, to do with them as you will, trusting your plan. Father, we do thank you for Patricia. Her surgery having gone well, we pray that you continue to heal her. Hopefully, Lord willing, we might be able to see her next Lord's Day. And Father, we thank you also for the McQuash family. We pray that you would be with them, and especially John, as he's trying to figure out passport issues and traveling to see his mother this week, Lord willing. Pray that that would work out, and you would be with Lillian and the girls throughout the month, I think, while John's gone, and uphold them and strengthen them in faith even today as they're here. And Father, we pray for those who are missing from worship for other reasons. Pray that you would encourage them to not forsake the assembling together of the people of God. And you would grant them a love for you and a love for your praise, a love for your worship. And that they would know that the most blessing that can be received on earth is found here when we gather together to worship you before your throne as our hearts are lifted up to you. Our Father, hear our prayers like you heard Aaron and Moses and Samuel. Forgive us of our sins as you did with them. And grant us answers to our prayers, that your will would be done in all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.